time for Hour 3 tonight on this day after Christmas 2024. Professor Eric Carlstrom is standing by. I assume you're still south of the border, at least that part of it that's still there.
That's right, Jeff. Good evening. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas and all that good stuff. Yeah, it's tacos down here, fish tacos, and they're awfully good.
Christmas dinner. Fish tacos. And, okay.
That's right. And the temperature is very, very amenable. It's very pleasant down here right now.
Got it.
Good bit warmer than my digs in Crestone, Colorado. So it's a nice way to see the world go back and forth and get a respite and learn about, you know, different parts of the world and just a whole different world.
How was Christmas in Old Mexico? What did you notice anything in the where they light up the town? Do they put lights up? I'm just curious about cultures and Christianity. A lot of Catholics in Mexico, as everybody knows.
Yeah, you know, and they're very family oriented here. So Christmas is a very kind of a family oriented occasion. Downtown La Paz, yeah, they would have lots of lights and lots of Christmas displays. They get into the spirit pretty good down here. They're always kind of imitating us. I hate to say that. They're Americans in so many ways. You know, so you see the Santa Claus and the Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer
you
and
do.
All this.
Okay. All right.
Yep. Yeah. But they have their own spin on things. It's a sweet culture, very civilized in many ways, very polite. Unfortunately, I think it's a little more of a slave culture than in America, where they have been beaten down economically. And they have, they live on so much less, most of them, than Americans are used to. So they've had their Great Depression here for a long time. And yet, of course, the rich are very, very rich. So you have a real stratification here of not much of a middle class. There's a middle class, but it's not big. And I'm afraid
every culture has a merchant class, and that's probably the middle class there, right? The merchant class, business people, whether it's a small business or a medium-sized business, you got a little bit of something there.
There's a Mexican economy down here and a gringo economy. And
there you go. All right. Well said.
And of course, the gringos bring their expectations with them, and the Mexicans would like, you know, to be on that gringo economy. And now now our Walmart down here has prices that are just the same as in America. So it's happening. Globalization is happening, you know, in baby steps down here.
Now, when you walk into a Walmart down there, same sense, same thing? They strive to make these things always identical. So,
yes.
Same thing?
Yeah. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, Home Depot, Sam's Club, AutoZone, all the big stores, chain
right.
stores, et cetera. But then you also have a great many small businesses here. So for me, it's refreshing down here. I admit it's nice to have a Walmart nearby.
You know? No, it's okay. It is what it is.
Might have been. You know, I mean, it's nice to be able to find those things. So, it's a mixed bag always, and a very, very beautiful place where I live. Very beautiful place.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right, so what do we got on the table tonight? Very interesting title up there.
Ever since we did our show last couple weeks ago, we got into Operation Blue Beam, you know, with the drones and everything. And I kind of focused in on that a little bit. Now, I've admitted that I'm not an expert on UFOs, although I have read Jacques Vallée's Masters of Deception, and I have gone to a couple main researchers to get their overall impression. One thing I did do after our show, I listened to a show by Jay Dyer on Red Alert UFO Alien Deception Plot Rolling, And of course, that's one possibility in terms of interpreting this drone activity. But he said some very interesting things, which tied in this whole alien UFO story in with some things that actually I'm very familiar with. I've done a lot of research on mind control in the context of my series of articles about Crestone Baca, Colorado. And he says this in his program: the military has utilized the alien mythos and story to cover up black operations. And I couldn't agree more. And I think the main one they've used that for is mind control, MK Ultra, and all these others. And then he says, for example, the George Adamski story. Now, George Adamski was a guy who was a real shyster back in the early 50s who claimed, you know, he'd been abducted and stuff like that. But Hold on.
So, okay. My jury is still out on George Adamski. Overall, he pulled it off very well if that was a complete charade. Was it, in your view? The whole thing, Adamski?
Well, again, I'm going to be, you know, trotting on a delicate ground here because I'm not an expert nearly as much as you are. But, you know, just from what I've looked at, it seems like his story is he was a soldier of fortune. He was a con man. But what's interesting about this, his sentence of Jay Dyer is the rest of the sentence. He says, George Adamski's story was actually fostered and protected by other than Alan Dulles, the head of the CIA, who in
1920 signed
on to MK Ultra mind control projects. And then he asked Jay Dyer, why would the head of the CIA threaten to sue anyone who tried to question or debunk the George Adamski story? And then he gives the answer, his answer, and he's an Orthodox Christian. He says, a new mythos is being advanced to replace traditional religions such as Christianity, and they're using the UFO alien story to do that, because then, you know, the projection is, oh, the aliens are going to come, and then we're all going to realize that there are, you know, genetic parents, and they created us, you know, by genetic manipulation, and there goes the whole Christian story. This is kind of what he's, and then he also says they're looking for a narrative that will support their plan for a technocratic Luciferian global government. I couldn't agree more about that either, because obviously this whole technocracy, which is coming down, which involves transhumanism and cyborgs and life extension technology, and of course smart cities and UN Agenda 2030 and all this stuff, is the technocratic scientific elite plan for Luciferian global government, which my extended series of articles about Crestone Baca totally proves 1,000 times over. And then he says, okay, this is still going back to our friend, the kind of ersatz professor, Jay Dyer. The easiest way to debunk all of this is to watch Mirage Men, a 2013 film, where an Air Force counterintelligence operator, i.e. professional liar, Richard Doty, admits that he actually helped concoct the alien myth. This whole UFO alien psyop deception is all a perception management psyop. So, you know, I hope you can entertain a different worldview here for a little bit.
Hold on one second. I got to back, rewind just a little bit. You mentioned Richard Doty. Was he in this film, this documentary, or was it a theatrical motion picture, and he was portrayed in there by somebody else? What does Doty have to do with this?
Okay, good question. Okay, so he's in there, and...
I mean, he's physically in the... Is it a film, or is it a documentary?
It's a film documentary. Now, let me give you the story on this. Mirage Men, a 2013 film by Perception Management Productions, directed by John Lundberg, who is famous for being involved with British crop circles. And it's based on the book by Mark Pilkington, another British guy who authored a book called Mirage Men, A Journey into Disinformation, Paranoia, and UFOs. And then two other guys. And this book relates the true story of how several U.S. government agencies, the U.S. Air Force, NSA, FBI, ONI, Office of Naval Intelligence, probably DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, and possibly at least one British spy agency, MI5 or MI6, clandestinely targeted and destroyed Paul F. Benowitz, an independent UFO researcher whose investigations threatened to expose government black operations at the Kirtland Air Force Base right outside of Albuquerque, New Mexico. So this all occurs in the late 1970s and early 80s. And what really just smacked me in the face, and I've watched this now many times, I've even transcribed the dialogue and I've, you know, figured out who's saying what and everything. And then I've given a lot of in this particular article, it's like, you know, it's now it's part 14 of my Is Creston Baca the Vatican City of the New World Order, an expose of the New World Religion series, because this has so much information. And so what is obvious to me is that Benowitz, this self-made man who was destroyed by these Air Force disinformation guys like Doty, he was a targeted individual. And what they
Benowitz. Yes, Benowitz was hounded and terribly mistreated, as I remember.
Well, it's more than that. It's like the NSA set up a surveillance across the street from him. They stole his computer. They substituted their own computer.
Well, didn't they kill him or drive him to an early death?
They drove him insane, and he drove him to an early death. He lost his business. Yeah. He was ruined. Yeah. And this, of course, is the whole targeted individual program, is to destroy the target. And so in this article, which I'm referencing here, which is called Mirage Men Spooks Government Targeting of UFO Researchers and Social Religious Engineering, because I think that would be the larger context of what they're doing. What this is all about is infiltrating a movement which the government is nervous about, and they want to control it through infiltration, sabotage, steering it, and that requires, to some extent, taking out the leaders or turning the leaders into assets that will help them neutralize other leaders. For instance, another guy who was involved here, who was a target of Richard Doty, one of his own assets. Each of these Air Force guys would have about four assets, and this is their job, to come in and infiltrate, sabotage, steer, and disinform. He admits in the movie he's churning out 80% disinformation and 20% information, and that the community doesn't know which is which. And he says that in the movie. Okay, so this other guy that he turned is a guy named William Moore, who was very influential.
Bill Moore. Yeah.
Yeah, Bill Moore. And so he turned him into an asset, actually got Bill Moore to help break in to Paul Benowitz's house and steal stuff, as well as inform on what people in the community are doing back to the Air Force. So all of these targeted individual techniques are being used by our federal government against American citizens in order to monitor, control, steer, sabotage these domestic movements. And this is what I've come to. And this bag of tricks, which is involved with the targeted individual program, very much comes from, I think, the CIA and all the tentacles that they have into all the other military and other agencies that I mentioned. So Benowitz was successfully turned into a government asset because they fed him so much disinformation. They would actually put in props on Archuleta Mesa and, you know, bring him up there and tell him, well, you know, it might be UFOs, Paul. Why don't you go ahead and research that? And then they would. So the Air Force is like just leading this guy around. And apparently he threatened to expose three of their top secret classified projects. He's a smart guy. This guy was a former Air Force guy. He had an engineering. He was supposedly a genius in electronics. He had an engineering company that had contracts with the Air Force, and he was picking up their emissions from Kirtland Air Force Base and made a presentation to the Air Force and say, look, this is what I found. I want to help you guys because I think these are aliens. And at that point, there's a statement by a guy named Greg Bishop, who is in the also featured in the movie, who wrote a book about all of this. And he said, from the point Benowitz gave a presentation of his scientific findings to Air Force officials, the government decided from that point on that all his perceptions would be directed in the exact direction that the intelligence agencies wanted. Benovitz said he saw people coming in and out of the house across the street. That's the one the NSA rented and set up a surveillance, and looking out from the curtains. As it turns out, the NSA had some people in his house, in this house. They were watching him. They were beaming messages from across the street into his antenna setup. He started picking up these signals, and the NSA was scared that anybody could figure that out. They decided to just take complete control of what he was seeing and give him exactly what he thought he should be getting. So they replaced his computer with their own computer. The computer had software that would decode the messages he was getting in the way they wanted him to see them. So when it comes to, you know, signals intelligence, a guy like Paul Benowitz might be very sophisticated, but he can't keep up with the NSA. So if you look at the transcripts he got, then this is, again, Greg Bishop, the author of Project Beta, the Paul Benowitz story speaking. The story he got was they, aliens, said they were from a planet with no water, and they were trying to find a new place to live, and they want to take over the Earth, and they could only trust Paul. They would have some kind of agreement with him, and Paul said, "You can't trust these aliens. These aliens are evil." This served to make him look silly, which was exactly what they were trying to do. So, you know, I mean, it's like I pulled the curtain back on this targeting program. And, you know, I've been targeted for 10 years myself by these assholes. And this is a breakthrough for me. I would recommend everybody watch The Mirage Men. Another thing that you see in this film, you know, they have face cards, these government operators, just like they did with Saddam Hussein and the men in his government. You know, in this one, Bill Moore is designated the Ace of Spades, and Paul Benowitz is the King of Clubs. And Linda Moulton Howe, the one who made the journalist who made the film on the cattle mutilations, she's the Queen of Hearts. And then the Jolly Joker is this Richard C. Doty, this Air Force counterintelligence special agent. And he's the guy who's feeding them all this misinformation and disinformation. And they're doing intelligence ops against a movement in America comprised of Americans. And they're neutralizing these movements. And, you know, Doty says in here, okay, I'm getting orders from headquarters in Washington, D.C. I have a supervisor. And they told me, they gave me this assignment. And it's my job, you know, to protect certain information and to neutralize these targets. And I did my job, you know. And there's others. And there's others. Mm-hmm. There's another guy named Walter somebody or other, who is also with the Air Force Office of Special Investigations, AFOSI, who says, yeah, this was his assignment. He was told to protect something. And some, you hear about the failures, but he had a job to do and he did it. So, you know, things did get turned upside down because they're supposed to serve us. But here they are doing military operations against Americans, driving Americans insane, discrediting them, you know, driving them out of their businesses. This is what the targeted individual program is all about. And this is, I think, I'm sure it's a CIA operation.
I'm kind of checking out the movie now online, IMDb, Mirage Men. Yeah, Doty was in it. He was actually in it. I guess Linda Moulton Howe, she might have been in it too. But at any rate.
Yeah, she comes out very, very sincere and very credible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know Linda. She's good. She's a solid person. This movie, for over 60 years, the U.S. Air Force and U.S. intelligence services exploited and manipulated beliefs about UFOs and extraterrestrial visits as part of their counterintelligence programs. Now, some of those behind these operations speak out. The question is, how much control did they exercise, I guess, beginning in the early 50s when they began making all those movies in Hollywood? How much of the common knowledge, we'll just use that word, about UFOs and aliens was an artificial creation, artificially put in the minds of the masses? How much of it? And how much of it was not? We're into an area now that's very confusing for people. Well, what was real? What wasn't real? If they really controlled this, I mean, that's a major operation. It's not just a couple people playing games, I would think. Of course, it's easier when you have the media at your beck and call, which they did. But I wonder how many of the big celebrated stories were confabulations, were real? How many of the eyewitness encounters were real? How many were concocted? I guess the sky's the limit, right?
Well, you asked the right question. Okay, so I also went online and I found a 2018 A Fade to Black radio program where Richard Doty himself calls in for about an hour and just talks about this stuff. And he admits that he was one of 123 U.S. Air Force Office of Strategic Intelligence plainclothes officers that had secretly infiltrated the UFO community.
I knew it. I'm not surprised. Go ahead.
Yeah, each spy, they're spies. And trained in disinformation, and charming, because they're trained to charm people. Each spy would covertly recruit and maintain four assets. Thus, in the mid-80s, when Doty was working on this single project, the Air Force would have had about 500 assets or informants within the UFO community. Okay, and then Doty states that...
Talk about penetration. This is pretty damned interesting. I didn't know. I might want to look at this Mirage Man movie at some point. That might be an important one. That's a lot of influence in a community that is already volatile and held up to mockery by many in the so-called mainstream. Wow. It's not like up to 500 players in the game that the Air Force controlled.
That's just the Air Force. And then Doty states that the Office of Naval Intelligence, ONI, the FBI had a much larger network, he said, and probably the U.S. Army DIA also infiltrated the UFO community to steer and mine the community for information. Isn't that amazing? I mean, okay, so...
That is a stunning concept to put out there, given all that we know and how many people we've chosen to trust over these decades. When did this begin? When did they begin infiltrating? Approximately.
Okay, so again, I'll stick with what I've got on this. I really recommend people go to my gang stalking mind control cults.com and just type in Mirage Men Spooks Government Targeting of
You
UFO
can click on that title is under guests tonight. Just go to hour three. Click on that. It'll take you right to the actual essay. You know, the Mutual UFO Network has always been treated as if it were the Cadillac of UFO ET investigatory bodies. The number one, that was the blue chip unit, the MUFON organization. Well, the director of Mutual UFO Network, MUFON, for over 35 years, was Walt Andrus, A-N-D-R-U-S. Walt Andrus, it turns out, had a brother, and his brother was career CIA. Now, is it possible that MUFON was a creation, a construct of the intelligence community? You betcha. And it would make sense that if I were running an intelligence operation, I would create something like MUFON, which turned out to be a Hoover vacuum for picking up sightings and other instances of information and then sequestering them away, which is what a lot of people think MUFON did and does. They get it, they report it once, and then it's gone. It's down the memory hole, gone. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, there's some very interesting characters that are interviewed here. And you know, as one is a former airline pilot and UFO researcher, Bob Durant, who I think is, you know, perhaps strikes me as being one of the really, really sensible ones. I mean, really grounded and who understands what's going on. And he said in 1952, the Central Intelligence Agency, faced with a huge public interest in flying saucers, and then my comment that they probably created, brought together a panel of senior scientists, the Robertson panel. They concluded that there was nothing to these flying saucer reports as objective devices of some kind, but that nevertheless the government had to exercise great care to debunk these stories and that individual civilians that expressed an interest in flying saucers ought to be carefully watched. I believe this to be the founding document that this has been the long-range strategy that has been followed by the U.S. government. Now, I'm not here to try to answer or not, you know, whether UFOs are real or not. I mean, aliens and all that stuff. But I don't think there's any question that the government has used this. You know, for instance,
well, they certainly stepped in and co-opted the entire field, obviously. Right. That's what you're saying. Now, have you seen the footage of the UFO fleet squadron that overflew the Washington, D.C. Capitol Dome or the Congressional building?
Yeah, and there is a lot of, you know, accurate and a lot of inaccurate information. In fact, I watched that footage just recently somewhere on one of the Alex Jones Band video things.
Yeah. He reran it,
Yeah, that person said, okay, there were actually, those lights were kind of doctored into the video. They were just local street lamps. Okay, so do you believe that? You're not
believing
that. That's what he says. You know, so, I know what you're talking about. What I'm saying is, okay, Linda Moultonhouse says that this whole thing is a fractured hall of mirrors on top of quicksand. And the reason it is because of these spooks that are professional liars that are infiltrating.
Oh, they're messing everything up. They're cracking up the field of legitimate research and investigation with disinformation. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Here's her quote: "A fractured hall of mirrors with a quicksand floor that nobody knows exactly what the truths are, and everybody has found themselves completely suspicious of the motives of any human being, because counterintelligence in England and the United States and a lot of other countries have worked overtime to misinform the public." That's the truth. And I personally, we talked a little bit about this last time. I think that this has been used by the military as a cover story for mind control. For instance, the military abductions would show these mind control victims who were abducted and put somewhere else, and, you know, all kinds of indignities were done to their bodies. And they might have shown little dwarfs or something that looked like an alien, and then told that they had been abducted on a spaceship, when in fact they had been subjected to MK Ultra type mind control experiments. And then the reason they would do that is because who's going to believe the person that says, well, I was abducted by aliens, you know? And I've read enough of these accounts to have read some where the abductee or the experimentee, the MK Ultra experimentee, says, you know, yeah, there were little tiny alien people, but then I saw some guys, big guys, blonde hair, baseball caps with blue eyes, you know. It's like, oh, okay, those are the you know, the real experimenters, you know. So I think what we might be looking at is a huge cover story for MK Ultra and other mind control, and that the ultimate goal of all of this is, now it's going to sound conspiratorial, but the documents are there. You know, going back to 1948, for instance, there's a document that came out of Harvard that was dredged up recently on a nice video put together by John Bowne. He says a passage from this document. It's by the Harvard Economic Research Project, 1948, creation of World War II operations research. Its aim was to control an economy, beginning with the American economy and then the global economy. It says, since energy is the key to all activity on the face of the earth, it follows that in order to attain a monopoly of energy, raw materials, goods, and services, and to establish a world system of slave labor, this is Harvard Economic Research Project, 1948, to establish a world system of slave labor. Do we start to get an idea of who the enemy is? It's not the aliens, it's these assholes in Harvard. It is necessary to have a first strike capability in the field of economics. In order to maintain our position, it is necessary that we have absolute first knowledge of the science of control, cybernetics, over all economic factors and the first experience at engineering the world economy. Okay, so we have this long-term plan. And then we have Norbert Wiener, the Jewish genius mathematician at Harvard, who in 1948 wrote the book Cybernetics. And in 1950, which is the merger of humans and machine, it's a science of control. you know, engineering humans like widgets to perform as you wish they should perform. And then 1950, the same guy, Norbert Wiener, writes a book, The Human Use of Human Beings, Cybernetics and Society. So coming out of World War II, we had these elites, these intellectual elites who had a long-term plan for America and the world to enslave us.
Eric, did you read that book, Wiener's book? Did you read it? Human Use of Human Beings?
No, but I did take a look at his 1963 book, which has to do with, I have to pull up the title of that.
That's a very provocative title, A Human Use of Human Beings. And I'll bet you he let some things slip in there intentionally in that text.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, he is Jewish, and you know
they want to brag. They just love to brag. Okay.
It's phenomenal. You know, I mean, the guy was a genius. He's the guy in World War I who figured out. You know, he was a kind of a munitions genius, and he used kind of computers to kind of hone in on targets. Like, okay, you missed by this much over here. You missed by that much over there, and then you little by little you zero in on the target so that you're going to get you know, mathematically.
Yeah.
And so much of the mind control that's going on now goes back to these guys and the math geniuses, you know, algorithms, et cetera, you know, AI and all this. But yeah, he had this in mind, and I'm sure a lot of other people did too. My suggestion here is that these are the aliens. Like Napoleon says, you know, the Jews need to be looked at not as a distinct race, but as a group of aliens. And, you know, it'd be a complete disgrace to be ruled by such a base race. And yet we're on the threshold of that very reality. I think that, you know, so many of the frauds that, yeah, I mean, our country is just replete with frauds. I mean, you know, war on terrorism is a fraud.
Wall to wall. It's just awful.
You know? Yeah. Climate change, you know, and all this stuff. These are cons, you know, and these are the ultimate con men. And that's what they do. They're very good at cons. You know? So
they're totally professional. They're the best at it. They know the game. They know how to dupe and deceive.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I personally couldn't say for sure, but and after reading Jacques Vallee's The Masters of Deception and, you know, looking at how the UFO alien thing has been used in mind control, my basic orientation is that, you know, we do have demons. but that phenomena is a little bit different. And the demons would be, you know, associated with, you know, Satan and the fallen angels. And that the Jews would be the children of Satan and the synagogue of Satan. So the whole alien thing then to me seems like it's kind of a, you know, a huge con and distraction. I could be wrong about that. There are probably a lot of things.
Couldn't it be both?
It could be both, yes. It could be both. I think that. Okay, let me go on, if you don't mind, with the implications of this, because what I found is that by looking at this, that this whole business of you know, these Mirage Men infiltrating movements like the UFO community. And create them, yes, exactly. Okay, here are the domestic American groups that I just off the top of my head said have been systematically targeted. Mm-hmm. And may be created by the U.S. intel community, and they'd be the targeted groups. The Communist Party. Okay, there's a guy named Ward Churchill who's done a lot of research on this. He's talking about the Communist Party, social movements in the early 20th century.
Yeah, I've heard the name.
Yeah, at one point he said, you know, the only guys in the Communist Party that could afford to pay the dues were the FBI, you know, infiltrators, you know. The Black Panthers were taken down by the FBI's COINTELPRO, which is exactly this kind of project. Q killed at least 28 Black Panthers. Ward Churchill's an expert on this, as well as the actress and civil rights activist Jean Seberg, Dr. Martin Luther King, and possibly Ernest Hemingway. The civil rights groups and civil rights workers
killed Jean Seberg. They drove her nuts, too, didn't they, before they killed her?
Yeah, drove her to suicide, which, of course, is the goal of the targeted individual program. That's a win for the targeted individual program.
Sure.
The anti-Vietnam War protesters were thoroughly infiltrated by the CIA's MH chaos in the 60s and early 70s, which had at least 300,000 student protesters who were tracked and targeted by the CIA and the Department of Defense. And just like the face cards, they would put names and pictures on the walls of this building in the bottom of the Department of Defense. Okay, I happened to be in college in the late 60s and early 70s, so I take strong exception to this. I mean, these guys should be, you know, executed for treason. They created and infiltrated the rock and roll scene of the late 60s and 70s. I believe the rock stars, you know, like Jim Morrison, who's the son of an admiral who was at the Gulf of Tonkin non-incident. These guys, I think, were mind-controlled, multiple personality MK Ultra puppets. And
if I might respectfully say, okay, some, yes, I wouldn't go too far with that, because the 1950s evidenced so much natural talent. We don't have any talented performers that I've seen today, not compared to what was around in the 50s. Jackie Wilson, right? Tony Williams of the Platters. These people were talents on their own. Elvis messed with? I don't know. But there are a lot of people who had just no auto-tuning in the studios, no pretensions with digital methods of making people sound better than they are and all that crap. They were real talents then. They sang into a microphone, and what you heard is what you got. Not now. Now it must be a field picnic for these people that are running popular culture. Jeez. Just think about it.
Well, it's very difficult to understand what happened in the 60s, even if you lived through it, because it was a giant psyop against the whole country. And I think our generation was a targeted generation. And I'd like to share
Fair enough. That. Fair enough. Yeah, the 60s, you can go back and look. Read Dave, what's his name?
McGowan,
the Laurel Canyon book. He was on the program not long before they killed him. McGowan.
Great man.
Terrific book.
So, you know, and of course, right in the middle of Laurel Canyon, what did they have? A gigantic Air Force base.
Oh, the Air Force base right there. Lookout Mountain right there.
That's right in the middle of it all, you know. And so I think if people will take the time to read that book, you know, the scales might begin to fall from your eye.
Give the title again of the book for people.
Weird Scenes Inside the Canyon, Laurel Canyon Hippie Movement, PSYOPs, and something or else like that.
Dave McGowan was the author
David
of the
book. David McGowan,
David McGowan. McGowan.
Yeah, please read that book. He's a great, funny writer. But what he's writing about is deadly serious, and so he has a real light touch. But he has pulled, and he also wrote a book about the serial killers in the 80s called Programmed to Kill. Okay, so now we're dealing with the same phenomena, MK Ultra writ large, and the Phoenix program turned loose in the form of programmed assassin serial killers in America, and now the mass shooters. So all of these things relate back to MK Ultra, the CIA. How to get people to do your bidding, how to get them to be sex slaves, Manchurian candidates. That's one of the main purposes of the targeted individual program.
Well, just imagine a huge flock of sheep being manipulated and directed by sheepdogs, among other things. That's what's going on.
These are the wolves. Okay, just going through my little list, Jeff, here. Feminist groups, I think, were largely infiltrated and perhaps even formed by the CIA and the Rockefellers.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We know Gloria Steinem was a CIA operative, et cetera. The UFO community, as we've mentioned. The media, of course, with CIA's Operation Mockingbird was totally infiltrated. Most of the big names were actually on the CIA payroll. Then we get into the Crestone Baca thing, the new religious movements and the New Age religious cults, which you find all over Crestone Baca. So this is what's called religious engineering, and this gets into my long story about Operation Crestone Baca, and helps explain why I've seen so dang many of these Mirage Men spooks coming and going out of our tiny little town. I mean, the people that come into our town to kind of move things this direction and that, I mean, these are, okay, I was a university professor for 30 years. I know an A-plus student when I see one. These are A-plus students that are coming in there to move things around. These are the spooks. So
what are they doing there? Hold on. Are they meeting there? Is there a clubhouse where they get together and strategize? What are they doing in Crestone?
Okay, so have you heard of a Potemkin village? It's a false front village. Have you heard of a safe house? Have you heard of a safe community?
Sure. Where no, not a whole community, but I'm sure they're there.
In fact, Alan Dulles pointed this out to a spy during World War II. He said, yeah, that whole community over there, that's ours. That's where we send our spies, you know, kind of in between missions. Hmm. Think about it. You got 30 different spiritual groups. The Buddhists and the Hindus are always adopting fake names, just like the spies are always adopting fake names, just like the Jews are always adopting fake names. So these guys come in there and they hang out and they do their operations as a Buddhist retreatant or as a Christian retreatant. And I've met so many of these people over the years and been fooled by them. Now I start, you know, the wool is starting to fall from my eye, the scales are starting to fall from my eyes, and I can look back and I can kind of see what was really going on was a lot of infiltration and a fair amount of steering of the Baca community, especially the little political issues, much like we see the steering of the UFO movement. So that's my point in this post is that not only is the CIA and the intelligence agencies monitoring and steering these social movements that are legitimate, they're also creating their own and monitoring and steering those. It's as if they want to move society in a certain direction, and the way to do it is to break it up, fracture it into smaller pieces, and then take each one of those pieces and wreck it.
Yes. This is... It's kind of sad to hear. I'm familiar with it. I've heard much of this before, of course, over the decades, like you. But it's still, people have no idea what they're living in. They never will. It's not their purview. They're not allowed. It's out. They don't live in a real world. They live in a fake world that's been created for them to live in. Constantly being adjusted, constantly being manipulated, especially through social media and cell phones now. Screen addiction, terminal screen addiction, right to the subconscious.
Yeah, and you know, the way that these, like 911 Truth Movement, okay, I was involved with that. The Beyond War Movement of the 1980s that tried to move the United Soviet Union and the United States. I mean, at the time, we each had 25,000 nuclear weapons. We could have, you know, destroyed the planet, you know, 1,000 times over. So we had a little bit of influence then. We got it down to about 6,000 each, you know. But we still can, of course, destroy the planet many times over. But there was a movement that I'm sure was not only infiltrated, but I'm sure they took everybody's name down, like mine. So I've been involved with many of these movements, so I can see why I've been a targeted individual. And I am still a targeted individual. You get your name on a list, you know, and then they turn the hounds of hell on you, you know, in order to destroy you. I mean, this is not Santa Claus and Easter Bunny stuff. This is war. This is what Alan Dulles, the CIA director, would have called peacetime operations. But they are peacetime spy operations. They are war. They are operations. They're military operations against the domestic population. And they're using warfare tactics and warfare personnel and warfare technologies. And again, like you said, it is exactly my conclusion. I mean, we don't know the world we're living in. You know, and for most of my life, I haven't known it either because I was doing my career and that was my subculture. You know, I was a physical geography professor and I went to conferences and I wrote papers and I taught students, you know. And my that was my culture. That was my subculture. And I didn't realize by joining these movements that I was getting my name put on a list, you know, or that maybe my career itself was sabotaged, as it was, by these same guys. Because no,
nothing much they can't do. That's the sad part. They can do almost anything.
Well, my research, Jeff, shows, you know, that climates were much warmer, you know, in the last couple million years, and it had nothing, obviously, to do with people driving cars. So that's
ice cores. You know it. You know ice cores better than anybody. Ice cores show the whole story.
Yeah, well, that's just one of many, many, many lines of evidence, proxy data. And I did soils and geomorphology, moraines, soils. And that's where I got my information. Mm-hmm. But anybody who's working in the field of quaternary studies, which is the last 2 to 3 million years, and the ice ages and the glacial, interglacial fluctuations, is going to, you know, hang out with a bunch of other people that can give other perspectives. So I would go to meetings with the ice core people, and I would go to meetings that had the deep sea core people and the coral reef people and, you know, many archaeologists, tree ring people, biologists, pollen people. You know, you put all these different expertise together, and you start to get a whole picture of cyclical climate change that has nothing to do with humans driving cars. But of course that story is not supposed to be told. It does not fit in with the narrative. So then the spooks, they have to make sure the right people are in the right positions at the universities, you see. I've seen that in my life. These goddamn fucking spooks will make sure to destroy this person's career if they're not coming up with the right conclusions. And they'll promote somebody else who's putting out a bunch of garbage that's coming from computer models that has no relevance to the real Earth. And that's exactly what my life experience has told me. I mean, that's I've lived that, and I'm reading these other details and putting it kind of all together now, at the tender age of 75, you know. But we've been duped on a scale that people can't imagine. The climate science community has been infiltrated and co-opted and corrupted. Right. The psychology, psychiatry, neuroscience profession, likewise. The medical establishment, as we've seen with COVID, likewise, these guys have steered society towards our slavery. And as your last guest said, I mean, a lot of these people are carbon compartmented, so they may not know what the overarching goal is. But that's the overarching goal, you know, to move us into this technocratic slavery with the, you know, the C40 cities and the, you know, Agenda 2030.
You have a hell of a grasp on it, Eric. You've really put a lot together over the decades, and I don't know how successful your career, how successful they allowed your career to become, but they haven't taken anything from your mind. It's all there. It's a treasury of information, of experiential data. It's all there. You have it. I mean, you sound phenomenal for what you've been through. And the knowledge you have. So, you should be proud. You're making a great contribution right now every time you come on this program. People listen.
Well, thank you. And, you know, this has been a very, very hard hard lesson for me to learn, as for all of us. You know, and it does directly relate to my life. And sometime maybe we can talk about this further if I'm allowed to live long enough for that to occur. But these are dangerous times because, I mean, you get
very much.
There's a scale of okay, how are we going to take this guy out? Let's put him in the targeted individual program, or let's just kill it. You know, like what they did with the guy who invented the PCR test, Kerry Mullis. You know,
Dr. Kerry Mullis. Well, they tried to take yours truly out in 2015, and I'm lucky to be around. They wanted.
Right.
I don't know. Some. I think the group is not a monolith. I think there are fragments, of course, portions of it that have, sometimes they work at opposite goals, from each other. It's not a single-minded thing, I don't believe. At any rate, they've killed a lot of people. People get in the way, just take them out. No joke.
Well,
no hesitation.
Let me just say this about that. I was the treasurer of the American Quaternary Association when I was back at Northern Arizona University. And I was hanging out with the top people in the paleo climate era, you know, movement or subculture, if you will.
Sure.
And I was slated to, you know, be a shaker and a mover in the field of real climate change. But I was eased out would be the polite term. I was kind of aced out of my job at Northern Arizona University by, I think, a CIA operation. And I think I can prove that. But, you know, I mean, when you go up against the CIA, you're up against pretty big guns there. But
true.
I know that that's the case. Then I was they actually were nice enough to make a position for me somewhere else where I couldn't do any damage. A department that didn't have any graduate programs, for instance, and didn't have much of an earth science department. So there they wanted to get me into a different stream of geography. They wanted me to be part of the brainwash the youth about environmental catastrophes. And I did that for a little while and then saw through that and changed the way I taught my human ecology class.
Okay, we have to wrap it up.
Yeah.
I'm running late.
So,
thank you.
Anyway, these are big topics, and thank you so much, Jeff, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Same to you, Eric, and we'll talk soon. You be safe. Take care. All right. And that's it for tonight. Back with you tomorrow in 21 hours. You take care, and if you can, do some preparing. All right. We'll talk tomorrow. Thanks for being here.